happy to see so many friends. And to get straight to the point, I think our friend Long from Vietnam, he's only here for today, and I know he has some questions. So maybe we let him start.
Thank you very much for letting me to ask questions. Actually, a lot of questions arise, but most of them fall away. Ajahn, I'm really concerned about how we know about living being in reality. For example, in conventional, easily I can say there is Ajahn. Ajahn is alive. But in reality, from here, I just be able seeing and hearing from Ajahn. It means only rupas are experienced. No way to experience citta arise from Ajahn. So can I say that Ajahn is alive in reality meaning? Sorry if the question is bad, but I really concerned. In conventional, easily we can say here are people are moving, talking, yeah, but in reality, just rupa are experienced now. So how can we say that there is a citta over there? Yes.
I think that we better study just one word at a time in order to understand it. For example, the word Dhamma. Everyone has heard the word Dhamma, but is the Dhamma now?
Yes.
So there's no one. Because you said that there is Dhamma and everything is Dhamma. Whatever is real and it has its own characteristic cannot be taken for I or anyone at all. For example, seeing, not just you or I or anyone, bird and cat, dog, can see. So seeing cannot be anyone at all. Seeing is just seeing. We learn to understand the absolute truth of what appears now as it is, as no one. Because seeing is conditioned to arise. If there is no seeing, how can we say that I see or anyone see? So seeing arises from different conditions. It cannot just arise at will, or no one can make it arise at all.
Yes.
But now, it has a reason, unknowingly, all the time.
Yes.
It means that at moment of hearing and thinking, there must not be seeing. But it seems like there is seeing all around.
Yes.
See, it means ignorance of what is there. So when we study or learn to understand there's no one because there are only different dhammas, they do not belong to anyone at all. Seeing is not mine or my seeing, it's not yours or birds or cats. Seeing just arises to see. And what you take for alive or life is the moment of experience.
Yes. Thank you, Ajahn.
So, Ajahn, can we say we assume that there is a living being because of what is seen, but it's not directly known?
We have to understand reality just one at a time as it is, because seeing cannot know that it's this glass or this table, but seeing just experience that which can be seen. Because people think that they see table, it's hard, it can be touched, but the table cannot be seen at all. What is seen is that which, without that shape and form, there's no idea about whether it's chair or table or people or things. So we have to understand each reality as it is. Because when there are so many realities arising together, it conditions that shape and form of some idea, whether
yes.
it is this or that. But actually, when we break everything up, there is only just one characteristic of a reality which cannot belong to anyone at all, because now it's gone completely. So that which is gone, is it alive or not alive, that which is gone. But as soon as it does not go away or fall away, yet it's there, living being. Because of that is the experiencing. Table cannot experience anything. Can table be alive?
No.
No. So what we mean alive is that which can experience.
And I think Ajahn is also saying that even for non-living objects such as table, we don't directly experience that that's a table. But we make an assumption, it's a convention. So it's the same for a living being or an inanimate object. Seeing just sees visible object. And then there's a lot of thinking about what has been seen. And there are concepts arising automatically based on what has been seen and based on memory.
To further elaborate, when there is seeing, as John was saying, was that we see just visible object, we hear sound, etc. Okay? But then it is the mind, what we call the mind, that interprets what is seen and gives it shape and form because of memory and feeling, so that we look at this and we say, ah, I see that's a table, this is a chair, this is a purse, these are eyeglasses, etc. But in actual fact, the seeing only sees visible objects, sometimes thought to be various degrees of color. Okay? But it is the mind that creates the idea that there is a shape and form to them. So that's basically what we think. We think the thing with the shape and form is real, but it's not. Only the reality that is there, that is perceived by the citta, is real. Okay.
Yes, thank you for your kind explain. I listened to the Dhamma talking sometime, so I feel a little bit familiar with what you say. But my question is how can I distinguish the table here is a not living object, and here is a my son is a living being. How in reality, just seeing and hearing now, how can I say that this table cannot see and my son can see? Because my son can see, so my son is a living being. How can I say that? Just a rupa experience to the five door sense.
Sanya marks whatever is seen, like how is it known this is a glass and this is a table? Because of Sanya remembers that this is a glass, it's not a living being. And Sanya remembers this is Kunnina and this is Ajahn and this is what we call a living being. So it's because of Sanya it remembers and there is thinking about this as a living being. Because of Sanya, we know that for this one, there is thinking and experiencing of objects. For this, no thinking, no experiencing of objects. So it's all because of Sanya that remembers what has been seen, that there is thinking in this way or that way, but it's still just visible object that's seen.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. But we start this, our life, when we were baby, and we live in like a conventional world, and we know this is a person, this is a table, because we learned by concept and Sanya addressed the concept. My question is, in reality, how can we say that here is a living being, not non-living being? Just by our five door sense, how can we say?
You know what the difference between rupa and nama? Okay, so we can say that a citta You know what ajitta is. Okay. So ajitta is a moment of consciousness. Okay. If there are no jittas arising and falling, let's say, so if let's say suddenly right here, there's no more jitta or jetasika arising, then you would have the concept of a dead body, right?
Yes, I know. For example, I can say I am a living being, but I cannot say other is a living being. You know, it's really difficult to say.
Because, like you said at the beginning, it's only visible object, sound, heard, but because of memory, there's thinking and knowing that what this visible object is different from this visible object, but still it's not any experiencing of the other's citta. It's just thinking and concluding that this what visible object is this one and this visible object is that one.
Yes, yes.
So why don't you ask this question to the table?
I don't ask the question to this table because of in conventional understanding, I know that it's a not living being, just a normal intelligent, you know. But sometimes I ask question to me in the mirror. Yes, of course.
So your main point concerns like whether we can actually experience the citta, right, of others,
yes, yes.
Right? That's actually your question.
My question? My question is, now we learn about ultimate reality, we learn about the truth. So by using our understanding about the truth, can we say that there is no citta in here, but there is a citta in here, but we haven't not yet at the level of direct understanding other citta. So we just know about the five door. So how can
it's just based on our own experience, but Tam said your question is whether the citta of another can be directly experienced. Yes. That's your basic question, right?
Yes. Now we cannot direct experience others' citta. So how we can say that they are living being?
And about Samuti Satcha and Paramatta Satcha. So it's true that this is Nina and this is a table and this is living being. This is Samuti Satcha. But now, if we're looking at Paramatta Dhamma right now, what is real at this moment of thinking like that?
Yes.
What's the reality now?
Reality
like
now
that?
Is it thinking about
just the
concept.
Thinking.
Yes.
Just thinking. So
yes.
Just the thinking is real.
Yes.
Seeing is real. Thinking is
yes.
Real. So the Samuti Satcha is no different from before. This was an orchid before, and it's still an orchid as Samuti Satcha's conventional truth. But in reality right now, what is seen is just that which is visible. And it's just thinking which thinks this is an orchid, but still we call it an orchid.
Oh.
So Samuti Satcha is unchanged. We know what is a living being.
Yes.
But right now, in terms of understanding, it has to come back to understanding what appears now, which is what Gung was wanting to
yes.
discuss also. So
yes.
Otherwise we keep thinking and thinking about Samuti Satcha, but we're all experts already in Samuti Satcha. So we come to understand what is reality at this moment.
Yes, yes.
And then it's clear what is Samuti Satcha and what is Paramatta Dhamma.
Uh-huh.
Is it necessary to experience the citta of another?
I think not necessary. But if we know about the truth, That would be worthy, that would be valuable.
But we can only know the truth of what appears.
Yes, yeah.
Only what appears can be directly experienced.
Right.
So that is now is visible object and sound and
yes.
heat
yes.
and cold and those yes. realities.
Yes, yes, yes.
In Nama over there, there's no group of Nama and Rupa here. It's just visible object.
Yes.
Otherwise, we just get lost in a long story about
yes.
imagining what the
okay.
other person's thinking and how are they really a human and forget all about just thinking now as the reality at this moment.
Yes, yes.
And when there is understanding of what appears now, just seeing now or hearing or thinking when it...
Yes.
is experienced, then it answers all the questions.
Yes, yes.
Because you ask, how can we know that's a living being? But you don't actually have any doubt about it.
Yes, no doubt about this. But because you use both conventional knowledge and reality knowledge. So we kind of combination of the two.
When actually the all that arises and falls away in life are the Paramatta Dharmas. So when there is understanding of Paramatta Dharmas, then there is understanding of what is conventional truth. If we don't understand Paramatta Dharmas like right now, we take or assume the Samuti Satcha, the conventional truths, to be real. We think this is an orchid in reality.
Right.
But by understanding the Paramatta Dharmas, then it's clear that I cannot experience you or Nina or anyone
yes, yes.
because only visible objects seen.
Thank
thinking
you.
Only thinks about an idea. That's why the understanding always comes back to the understanding of Paramatta Dharmas, Namas and Rupas at this moment.
Yes.
And that's why Ajahn asked you about Nama and Rupa. Right now, what appears now?
Yes.
Because
thank
is
you.
The answer.
It's quite more clear to me now, yes.
I think Mr. Long yesterday also had a question about what is the meaning of the external object in the context of Satipatthana. Like external, when he talks about citta, so what is the meaning of external?
Like now, thinking about what Mr. Long's idea is, thinking about his experience, can there be any direct understanding or awareness of his experience or thinking now? For you, can there be any direct awareness of what I'm thinking now?
No.
No, but there can be thinking about it. There can be thinking about his idea, what his imagination is about. And at that moment of thinking about what he's experienced, there can be awareness, there can be direct understanding right now of thinking of the external object or the other person. Like if someone starts laughing, I may think about how happy they are, but it's just thinking right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes.
So there can be understanding right now about thinking, whether it's about someone else's citta or one's own citta or anything else.
So understanding about thinking is a function of panya?
Understanding whatever appears now, no matter it's seeing, no matter it's hearing, no matter it's thinking.
Yes.
Panya can directly understand that reality. So if it's thinking about the other person's idea and whether the other person thinks there's a living being, right now, seeing, there's thinking. There can be understanding of the thinking at this moment.
Yeah, thank you. Can I have a question about Rupa? When learning about Rupa, I know about Kalapa. As my understanding, Kalapa is a concept. It's not reality. And I don't know what is a benefit of learning about Kalapa. Because even there are at least 8 rupas in a kalapa, but at one moment citta can experience only one rupa, and the other at least 7 rupas are useless or not. And I even we learn about Kalapa, we have no way to experience Kalapa. So why we learn about Kalapa? Is there any meaning that I still don't know about Kalapa?
It's like we've been talking about Chitta, and we know there have to be chetasikas that arise with it and condition it. And this helps to understand more about the nature of Chitta and those chetasikas. And the same with rupas. Like, why is there thinking now about this visible object as white cloth and this as purple orchid? Because each rupa arises in a group with other rupas, and it's conditioned by those other rupas that it arises together with. So the visible object seen now is different from the visible object seen a moment ago. And it's not for no reason, but it's conditioned that way because the hardness, the temperature, the other rupas in that group condition that visible object to be just that way, not any other way. So by learning more about the different conditions for the rupa that is experienced now, it helps to understand that it's not a tablecloth, not an orchid, not something, not atta, but it's just a rupa that is conditioned in many ways. No one can make the visible object now to be a beautiful one or a ugly one. It just depends on the conditioned nature of rupas that are experienced at that moment. Depends on the rupa that impinges on eye sense, and the seeing of it is conditioned by karma, and it's conditioned by the other rupas that arise together with it. So it helps to explain that rupa doesn't arise alone, but it's conditioned by the other rupas that support it, even though only one appears, only one is experienced at a time.
Interesting.
So the hardness that's experienced here is different from the softness here, because even though it's the same kind of rupa, the same rupa, is conditioned by other rupas at that moment.
Ah, okay.
So they're not useless.
Yeah, now they are not useless. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. So let's say the visible rupa, two visible rupa in two Kalapa group are different because of at least two factors. The first is the two visible rupa different from each other by themselves. The second factor is that because of seven other rupa in each Kalapa group make them different.
When you say they're different of themselves, they're different because they are conditioned by these other rupas.
Uh-huh.
And then when for example, touching the softness here and the softness here, the softness of the body is different because it has another rupa,
Jivitindriya,
if it's conditioned by karma.
Yes.
So there's more and more detail, which just to explain the conditioned nature of whatever reality is experienced right now.
Yes.
So this is a way to gradually understand that there is no one, no thing in it at all, but just different realities arising by very specific conditions.
Yes.
It's not because for no reason that this visible object is one way and this is another way.
Uh-huh. And this minor question is a little bit curious. Who can experience five rupas in the Kalapa at one time? Is that the Buddha can experience all the rupa in the Kalapa group at one time? Otherwise, he cannot say that there is a Kalapa group containing at least eight rupas.
Because of the very precise understanding of the Buddha and his key disciples, even though they arise together in a group, and even though only one reality, one rupa appears at a time, but because of the rapid rise and fall in succession, because there has already been the direct understanding of the rise and fall of realities. So it is apparent about how these rupas arise together in a group, just like it's apparent how chaitasikas arise together with citta, because of the understanding of the rapid understanding of different realities in succession.
Yes, yes.
And the nimitta of those realities which appears.
So can I imagine that is a kind of puzzle game, that there are different pieces of rupa and we when it fit together, we can say that it's a kalapa group?
It's enough for me to know that the rupas arise together in a group and they condition each other. If I start thinking, how can I directly know that they arise as a kalapa, then it's like forgetting about this moment and what appears now and what can be known now. It's like we talked about yesterday, being too hungry for results and trying to imagine what advanced understanding is, what it would be like to directly know about the rupas arising in a kalapa when there is no understanding at this moment of visible object appearing. So the understanding has to come back to what appears now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it seems that it's study of Dharma, but actually the, as you mentioned, the curiosity,
yes,
takes one away from actually understanding this, yes, moment.
Yeah. Totally agree. Thank you so much.
The first thing I want to add more on the question of Mr. Long, because at first he said that about kalapa is a concept. The first time we learn Dhamma, everything appear by the word and by the concept. But the way is understand the true meaning of this word is better and come back to some characteristic appear the moment, like the seeing the visible object. It's something, the key point we must do consideration, because if we follow on the concept and the story of concept kalapa and event nama and rupa, and so it also the first is a word, and also it appear in my mind in our mind is a concept, but we don't know the true the meaning of the what is rupa and what is nama, and you list to thinking about the kalapa. Why we don't understand what really is a rupa is my point of view, and my question is about the some kind of nibbita. When I know that when I see only see the object, a visible object, and a lot of process of the seeing, process of thinking after seeing, and the leaves the nibbita of the whole, of the shape and of the color. But one thing is this cup still white, and after thinking I come back, it's still white, and so that the first image of the whole and the second image of the whole appear in my mind is similar the same. It's not exactly the one, but it's similar the same, and it's conditioned for some wrong idea that's still a cup still there. And I have a question: what makes the first image, the first of the image of the cup, first and the second later time, it makes it sometimes quite similar, and makes some like the normal guy still thinking it's a cup and it's still there. It's root of the idea of cell, idea of something still. Still available, but when we learn Dhamma, I know that this only visible object and this is only the concept is a concept of the whole, a nimitta of the many paramattha dhamma, like visible object and like the sana, everything. But the last and the second, the next, the fourth and the second give me something similar image in my mind. And I wonder, it because the rupa still arise like this way, or
its effect from the last sanya to the sanya and to the current sanya make me still feel the cup still there. And it's quite complex in the because I know it's a lot of visible sex, a lot of process in seeing, thinking, but it's produced something the same image in the mind. And many people think, oh, the cup still there, it's still white, it's still on the table, something like it. And it's I want to make so clear about this point to understand the root, make the wrong view from the normal people.
We make a lot of assumptions based on memory and our experience in life. Like Mr. Long's earlier question about living being, and the same applies to what we see at different moments. So in fact, in between the two instances you talk about, someone may have picked up the cup and then put it back again, but we didn't see that, so we just assume that it was there all the time. It's an assumption, but it's a normal experience in life, isn't it? The visible object that's experienced is obviously conditioned. We don't know what those conditions are, but just as there is a condition to recognize a person that we see now and see tomorrow, and we know that's the same person.
All day long, there's just the experiencing, the remembering of what's been experienced through the sense doors and thinking about it, thinking. And because there's no understanding of the rapid arising and falling away of the different namas and rupas appearing, it seems that there is something. It seems there is a glass. It seems that there is a straw in it, because there's no understanding of visible object now, sound that's heard, thinking, and countless moments of seeing visible objects, but it's not known. So it just seems it's one long experience of light or color or something which seems to last. So it all comes back to not understanding what appears now. And it's because of the rapid rising and falling away of what appears that it's the nimitta of what is experienced that is known. We have to come back to the thinking now.
Yeah, so that means when we say the same cup, is that mean the two moments of the two thinking, right?
So
countless moments
of seeing visible objects.
Yes.
Absolutely uncountable, and countless moments of thinking of something. Hmm. And it's just speculating when we say, oh, the thinking is thinking about the same thing that it was thinking about a moment ago. Actually, each moment of thinking and rises and falls away and thinks differently at each instant. So it's just our conventional idea that, oh, I've been thinking about a cup for 5 minutes, or I've been feeling my backache for 10 minutes while I've been sitting here. Actually, it's just a moment. Just a moment of experience through the body sense, just a moment of thinking, just a moment of seeing, many, many moments of different experiences. So nothing lasts at all.
Yeah.
But because of ignorance and wrong view, it seems that it lasts. It seems there is something, someone.
Oh, okay. So that means by the sanya, by the ignorance and my wrong view.
Yes.
And it's something appear like the still there.
It seems that it's still there because of not understanding, because of ignorance. Yes.
So can I ask, when you are looking at the glass, it appears to be there continuously?
I understand in my knowledge that a lot of seeing and a lot of thinking about the nimitta, and I saw the nimitta first, and after that the link to the name is a cup, something like it.
Yes, but when you look at the glass, there is a period when you are thinking of glass.
When I thinking glass, yes, appear. When I see it not appear.
Yeah. What's the difference between that and the other situation where you say later on you look at again
yes.
and see it, but It's the same right now. What you are looking at seems to be there.
Yes.
That's the way the world thinking, appears.
The thinking thinks this thing be there. The thinking thinks it. Yeah.
But it's based on what is being experienced through the eye sense and also one's memory, that is from experience in life generally.
Yeah.
The same applies when you are looking at it now and it appears to stay there.
It's thin up here, there.
And that means that certain rupas are being conditioned to arise.
Yeah. Because besides of the sanya, ignorance and wrong view, I still thinking about that. It's thin some kind of the rupa thin conditioned by their way, thin there, by temperature.
But that's just your thinking about the reason why things appear the way they do.
Yes.
Different from experiencing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the same point that we were talking about with Mr. Long about understanding the distinction between Smriti Satya and Paramatta Satya. Like, conventionally we can say, oh, I've been looking at this glass for 5 minutes or I've had a body ache for 10 minutes. Conventionally that may be so, but when there is the understanding now that it's just thinking about seeing this glass many times and so on, then it's clear that it's just thinking at this very moment.
Okay.
Please excuse me. The arising and falling away of rupas is much faster than the eye and the thinking and the concept, and ignorance and wrong view condition this also.
Well, it doesn't have to be wrong view to think there's a glass on the table. It doesn't have to be wrong view. It just may be concept. Wrong view is something particular about having an essence or an existence. But just having the concept of a glass and a table and a person doesn't necessarily involve wrong view.
I was referring to the sameness of it as if it doesn't change.
And when you said earlier, like, oh, now I experience the nimitta of rupa and then this and then this and this, what do you mean when you say I experience the nimitta of rupa?
I mean, I understand that before I thinking this cup, it's a nimitta of a whole of the rupa, nimitta of a lot of rupa and seeing there. And after that, I know that the cup and I know and I recognize it, the cup, the name.
So
is,
what about at this moment? Can I recognize anything?
The thinking.
So it's just at this moment when saying I understand the nimitta of rupa right now.
Yeah.
What is the reality?
Just thinking,
not I. It's just a dharma that arises and passes away, and it can think about nimitta, it can think about rupa, it can think about cup lasting, it can think about anything. But at this moment, it's just thinking about different stories, different ideas.
Yeah,
so what is more precious is understanding right now of thinking or seeing or what is seen, visible object, as dharma. Otherwise, it's all about my experience and what I experience. First, I experience nimitta of rupa, and then I experience this and this. And it's so easy to forget about just different dharmas at this moment.
Yeah. And I have a question. Another question is, we talk about a lot about the rapidly of the arising and falling away of the dharma, and special in the rupa, for example. We don't know about the rapidly like it. It's big, but the speed of arising and falling away, with my understand, it's we don't recognize because of the ignorance, because of shana. But it's quick or slow, it doesn't matter, because ignorant don't distinguish between the first and the last, as the first and the next, and the nimitta of each dhamma, the speed of the arising and falling away of dhamma here, what the true meaning of when we're talking about is so fast? Because with my understand, it's fast or slow, it not doesn't matter so much because the ignorance in here. We don't distinguish between the rin and the nimitta and the whole, just everything still complex in the thinking, and ignorant don't know clearly about it. And the speed at the right now, we're talking about speed. What's the meaning when we're talking about it's so rapidly? It's only, with my understanding, it's only the function that leaves the nimitta. Because it's so quick, it leaves nimitta. But the ignorant don't know, don't distinguish between the things.
So it's the explanation of why this is taken for being a lasting something, for example. But at this moment, if there is awareness and understanding of visible object that appears, is there any thought or idea about how fast or slow it is at that moment?
No.
No. So the moment of understanding visible object or moment of understanding hardness when it appears, no thought about how rapid it is or how many visible objects there are or how many nimittas or anything else, because it's just that which appears. So that's the important point.
Yeah.
Otherwise, one becomes totally lost in one's ideas about how fast and slow and forgets all about what appears at this moment.
With my understanding, the main point is ignorance. We don't recognize the
character. If there's no understanding of hardness that appears now, no need to be concerned about how fast it arises and falls away. Would you like to add anything about how fast or slow?
I just want to talk about what's the point of listening to the truth or the teachings of the Buddha. What is the point? Is it useless or is it useful?
The point is the most important point is to me know that that's no one, nothing. Just some characteristics appear and arise and disappear. Nothing lasts.
And how can there be such understanding?
To be sister understanding, we must to listen to the truth by the right way.
Just one word at a time.
Yes.
Okay. For example, Dhamma. Yeah. What is it?
Talking Dhamma or talking about it?
Just
Dhamma. Just Dhamma.
What is it?
The moment what's up here now is Dhamma.
What is that in a moment which appears?
Characteristics of the what appear. Characteristics of the moment
what
up here.
What characteristic?
Like the seeing, the characteristic of seeing and the characteristics of the visible object is seen.
Does it arise seeing?
It arise and it follows away.
And that which is seen.
Sorry?
And that which is seen or experienced.
As visible object only.
Arising and falling away.
Yes.
So there can be a little understanding of no self.
Yes.
Little by little.
Yeah.
That's why that is not enough to get rid of the idea of self at all. Yeah. That's why we learn more and more of the moment when it appears, like now. There is no understanding of the difference between the seeing and that which is seen yet, right? But we just begin to understand that that which is seen cannot experience anything at all, but it can be seen just by seeing. Hearing cannot see it. So how many worlds are there?
How many?
Worlds.
Six worlds.
What are they?
It's the one of the visible object, the one of sound, the one of taste, the one of smell, the one of touching, and the one of appear in thinking.
Just one moment at a time,
yes.
Right? So just talk about one reality at a time. Which one you'd like to talk about?
Yes.
Which one?
It's the seeing.
The seeing
and the visible object, the color, something like that.
What is the character of that which arises to see?
Characteristic of see.
What is the characteristic of that which arises and see, just to see?
The characteristics of the visible object is
Seeing.
of seeing it as either they can experience a visible object, experience the visible object that, and they leave. That's they leave these characteristics to the another sister.
Does it see now?
Yes, and gone.
Okay, that cannot be known now.
Yes, it cannot be known now.
But it's true.
Yes.
So we begin to understand that each reality is not self, it's not me or mine, or it doesn't belong to me at all, no one at all. This is the way to not forget this moment as it is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we just take the idea of something from that which is seen, heard, and so on, so rapidly. Not enough condition to understand that which now sees as it is, as the self.
Mm. It's still only thinking about the seeing already passed.
Mm-hmm.
Only thinking about the seeing a person, something like that. Everything's a story right now.
So with the understanding very firm about there's no one at all, it will be any time we heard about this, it conditioned the understanding of no self. This is the most important thing. Not me, who hear, who see, who even understand. Otherwise, it's just I who understand this or that now and then. But actually, there is still the idea of self.
Yes, I understand.
And you talk about Satipatthana? Someone, you are.
Still low level.
Okay, that's good. Because I've heard someone just ask about the Satipatthana. No, not at all.
About the external object.
External object, yes.
Yeah. So, what is the external and what is the internal?
Internal first, because maybe it is easier. I think internal is the five khandhas arise and falling away rapidly here.
What about the moment of seeing?
The moment?
The moment of seeing, the internal and the external.
The moment of seeing, the visible object is external. The seeing citta is internal. Other cittasika arise together are internal object.
Very good theoretical knowledge. Yeah. So can there be the understanding of that which appears now as not self?
Yes.
How?
Intellectual understanding.
Or who? Or when?
Because there is no self there, just a visible object, the seeing consciousness, and the cittasika. And what is self? Cannot define what is the self.
Yeah. And this is the understanding of memory or sanya, just talking about the external and internal.
Understanding of sanya.
Like now when you're talking about these different realities and internal and external realities, it's because of sanya, because of having read and considered and remembered what has been heard.
Yes.
So because of sanya, there is this thinking.
Yes, sure. Yes. Sanya appear every moment.
Appear?
Arise.
Yeah.
It appear to the panya only, right?
Yes. Okay.
It arises, but appear to panya only.
Mm-hmm. So we just say what is external and what is internal, but it's not the direct understanding at moment when it appears. This is another level of understanding.
Yes.
Otherwise, we just keep on talking about like we know. But at that very moment of experience, when there is the moment of being aware, with understanding. It has to be with understanding that can bring about the little understanding of what it is as external and what is internal.
Yes.
That should be developed little by little, not just know what is external and what is internal.
Yes. So, thank you, Achant. Come back to the question. I want to express it in more detail that as an example of seeing the visible object is external, but can the external object be citta? No, citta from another khanda, not khanda here.
When we talk about that which appears, there should be the clear understanding of what is there as not self.
Yes.
For example, now, we see people and things all the time, but we say that what is seen is visible object. So the understanding at level of intellectual understanding is not enough.
Yes.
But it will bring little by little to understand. So all the teachings of the Buddha will bring about understanding little by little about what is said or what is heard from theoretical knowledge.
Yes.
And even if Panya develops and it's understand what appears for Panya, our Panya is not the same as for the Buddha's Panya. So for the Buddha's Panya or those who had attained high jhanas, it may be the other's citta, but even if there's panya at this moment, there cannot be any direct understanding of the other's citta, only thinking about it.
Oh, yes.
So we don't say it's not possible because it depends on who we're talking about, whether we're talking about the Buddha or his disciples or our limited understanding and what appears.
Yes.
Like even if we say Sanya appears. Does Sanya really appear at this moment, even if there's understanding?
Yes.
Thank
you.
What is seen now appear well?
Sorry.
Now there is seeing, right?
Yes.
And what is seen is just visible object.
Yes.
Right? Does visible object now appears well?
Not appear well. Because we don't know why about it directly.
Right. So even just one word, there should be the understanding of the difference between appear and appear well.
Yeah.
And who knows?
Panya no.
Panya. So with our panya, it's just the only, just word.
Yes. Okay. Only thinking about it.
And is it easy to have the visible object appear well?
Not easy.
How long it will take?
Aeon. Aeon to aeon.
That's right. Why?
Because ignorance is so much, and we wrong view a lot.
Because there's no self who can do anything at all. It depends on listening, hearing, understanding, little by little.
Yes. And I have a question in the five sense. We are usually use the word visible object imping on the eye sense. Imping, that means they meet the occasion, they have an occasion to meet together. But on the mind door, and the object is maybe some the nimitta. And I don't know how to use the sister in the mind door meeting the nimitta or. What word and what's the true meaning of the meeting between the object of the in the sista in the mind or in five sense we can understand that is an occasion to they meet together or they imping they interact with each other in characteristic be a visible object and eye sense, but I'm not clear in the mind or what thing be there when they touching each other, especially in the nimitta.
Just on the point about appearing well, so this is just referring to moments of satipatthana when there is direct understanding, only then does the reality that appears appear well. And on this point, so we know that for a moment of seeing to occur, the visible object must have impinged on the eye sense. Like you say, you can say it's associated or met the eye sense. There is the coming together of the inner eye sense and the outer visible object at that moment. Otherwise, seeing couldn't experience that visible object. And after other cheetahs have experienced the visible object that has impinged on the eye sense in the eye door process, and then, as we know, there are some Bawanga cheetahs, like I know we talked about this in Vietnam, and then there is the mind door process, and that characteristic of visible object, the visible object itself has completely fallen away. It no longer impinges on eye sense. There is no more visible object because it's gone, but its characteristic appears to the for at least the first process in the mind door. So actually it's the nimitta of visible object because the visible object has gone. So the visible object doesn't impinge anymore because it's just the nimitta of visible object, which is experienced by the citta and various chaitasikas, usually with ignorance or attachment, but can be with awareness or understanding. So no more visible object that's impinging in the mind door. So usually in the mind door, the object of most of the cheetahs is a concept or an idea after the first mind door process. But we don't say that concept impinges. It's just experienced by the cheetah because it's not a reality. It doesn't arise, it doesn't impinge, and it doesn't fall away. It's just imagined by the cheetah.
But when we learn, we know that is a hard base, to, and there is any characteristics imping or associates with the hard base, like the visible object and the eye sense, and the hard base is for the mind door. So that means we don't use the words imping in this case mind door. It's only the sister experience the nibbita on. Experience the concept, something like this. And how about the heart space at this case?
We're getting a few different aspects mixed up a bit. So when the visible object impinges on eye sense is the base for the seeing to experience that visible object at that moment when seeing arises. And for the other cheetahs in that eye door, heart base is the base where those cheetahs arise. That's all. And in the mind door, for any of the cheetahs arising in the mind door process, heart base, the hadiawatu, is the base where those cheetahs arise. That's all. So nothing to do with impinging.
So in the case of nama being experienced in the mind door, for example, feeling or rupa or dosa, we cannot say that there's any impinging. It's just experienced, right?
It's just the aramana. It's just the object that is experienced. So the impinging just refers to where the sense objects impinge on the sense basis. We don't say that vedana that is experienced as object in the mind or impinges on the heart base. We just say the citta arises at the heart base, which experiences the Vedana.
So what's meant by heart base, not just heart base?
Base is mean the it's a rupa, and it's a base is a call one of condition for the arising of some citta, the base. With so, my understand, it's a big, we don't know exactly the base, but we know the citta arise, and so we know that there must be the rupa called the base.
Can the citta arise outside, not at the base?
No, this must be have the base.
So we can know what citta arises at what base, right?
Yes.
So what is the base for seeing consciousness to arise.
It's eyes base. That means the rupa for the base for condition for the eye consciousness arising.
And what is the difference between the vara and the vattu? Vattu means the basis for citta to arise. And what is the difference?
It's the difference between is the door is a. It is through this door, the flow set of sista arising. It's a condition for the flow set of a weak kai of sista arising, like and the door of eyes, the door of ears, something like
that. How many doorways?
There are six doors.
Okay, what are they?
The door of the eyes, eye door, ear door, nose door, tongue door, body door, and also the mind door. The mind door is not a rupa. The mind door is a new nama.
What nama?
Bhavanga sista.
Pavanga?
Bhavanga sista. Sista. Okay. It's a sista.
The last Pavanga chitta before that.
The sista before the mind door arising.
Can the heart base be the mind door?
No.
Why?
Because the mind door not the base for the arising of the sista. It's only the condition for the starting the new process of the mind door process. It's not the base for the sista and sita arising.
And what is the reality of the heart base? The reality of it. What reality is heart base?
It's the rupa.
What rupa?
The rupa have the characteristics, have the function is a base of arising of the sista. And I read in the book is maybe some blood in the heart. It's not exactly, but I just understand that it's the rupa is base for the sista and sita siska arising in the mind or process.
Is that heart base?
It's
that heart base?
It must be. Because if we have a thinking, and it must be.
What the exact rupa is that? Which is the heart base?
I don't know. I just know it's the rupa conditioned by the karma, and I don't know exactly, but it's produced by the karma, past karma.
Can the heart base be the heart doorway?
No.
Because one is rupa and the other is nama.
Yeah. Okay. Only the mind door is a door. Mind door is a rupa, nama, not rupa.
So at a moment of seeing, like you said, the eye sense is the base, the vatu, and eye sense is also the dwara, the door, the means for that citta to experience visible object. What about the other cittas following seeing in the eye door process? What is the vatu and what is the dwara, doorway?
Following the eye sense process, the door still the eye sense. But the vatu is different. The only the eye sense is a vatu is a eye space. And the next one is only the heart space.
Right. And so for the other cheetahs in that eye-door process, when they arise, is the visible object still impinging on the eye sense?
Yes.
So the visible object is impinging on the eye sense, even though the cheetahs are arising at the hadaya-vatu.
Yeah.
So the impinging on the eye sense is one thing, and the cheetah arising at the hadaya-vatu is a different thing.
Yes.
So in the mind-door, they arise at the hadaya-vatu, so nothing to do with impinging on any sense.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Okay.
So
okay.
Two different.
Okay, got it. I got it. Yeah.
Is it beneficial to understand this?
Yes, it make me know that every consciousness they appear by the process, by the condition, and by the law. After this, and they must to by the condition of eye by your eyes, eye door, or something like this. It's not eye. It's not something control the appear of them, and they appear by their condition. the meaning of know about the process is that means the no eyes and the condition and the law of the nature here, and we know it and we consider it in daily life.
It's useful when there is the understanding that it's no self from the very beginning.
Yeah.
To understand better and better that actually there's no one at all.
Gung had a question about appearing for Ajahn. I think it's useful at this point to,
yeah.
And maybe for those who find this quite detailed, maybe it's good to have more basic.
Yeah. Ajahn, we in Vietnamese group has been discussed a lot about the reality that arise or appear, and today you also mentioned about the appear well. Then could you please help to elaborate more about the reality that arise or appear and appear well or even arise well? Yeah. And Thumbet also mentioned about reality that appear now can be understood.
We cannot say that it appears well because it arises and falls away in split seconds. Only when Panya understands the characteristic at that moment, it appears well to Panya to show itself as no one there at all, only that characteristic which is anatta. Just by conditioned, no one make it arise at all. This is the way right understanding develop, not I am developing at all, but the understanding from moment to moment develops to understand reality as it is. That's why we keep on hearing and considering what is heard in order to understand the difference between when it does not appear well and when it appears well. Without Panya, it cannot appear well at all.
We discuss about the reality that appear, that means the reality that can be experienced by citta. I want to just clarify that point.
So at this moment, visible object is experienced by seeing consciousness, by the citta. But when we talk about appearing, it means, is it known? Is there any awareness of it? Or countless moments of seeing arise and experience visible object, but nothing's known about it. That visible object doesn't appear because there's no awareness of it. So if one hasn't heard the Buddha's teachings, even though the realities, the Paramatta Dharmas, are exactly the same, but they don't appear. And so they appear well when there's direct understanding. But before there's direct understanding, there has to be the development of the understanding of what are the Paramatta Dharmas, so there's no confusion with the conventional truths. And it's clearer that what, in theory at least, what are the objects that can appear, that can be known. So when we mentioned sanya and whether sanya appears, so even now if there is understanding what appears, hardness is common object, sound is common object, visible object is common object, but is sanya common object appearing? Is pasa common object that appearing? Actually, it's just thinking about it.
It is, you mentioned about it arise, but it not appear now, right? That's what.
Sound now, it's experienced, but is it known? Does it appear? That's all. Does it appear as sound? Or does it just arise and be it just experienced by attachment and ignorance as usual? Or taken for something instantly, so it's not known as just sound. It doesn't appear as Dhamma. And this is why Ajahn was saying, what is Dhamma? So in the beginning, there has to be the understanding, what is Dhamma? Otherwise, no Dharma will appear for sure.
Because when we are listening to another person speak and understanding everything they say, that is not what is meant by sound appearing well. Sound appearing well is a way of referring to a moment of awareness of sound as just sound. That's all.
Ajahn often reminds us it is known as a reality, and we can repeat it, these words, but it doesn't mean it's really clear, and that depends on Panya, on the level of Panya.
That's why Panya develops gradually from moment to moment. Each moment is very valuable, very precious, because it brings more and more understanding, but very, very gradually. But by remember whether it appears well, can be so very truthful that how much understanding is there.
And yesterday we were talking about waiting for Panya, and Sarah gave such a good reminder that it seems like me and my ignorance. I like to hear it again.
It's so good.
Sometimes we think because we've heard quite a lot about Dharma and we know that what's most important in life is the development of understanding, eventually leading to the eradication of defilements, as someone said. So it's very easy to assume that when we're thinking about more understanding or waiting for understanding, that there's something kusala about it. But actually it's a cheating dharma, because when thinking about understanding that hasn't come yet, or thinking about what it would be like to experience the kalapas in the future, the reality at this moment is lobha, and usually the concern is for me, myself. Who cares about whether anyone else has more understanding? But it's all about imagining what the understanding would be like for me. So behind it, there is the idea of I and my understanding. Otherwise, there wouldn't be thinking about how much or how little or when it will come.
I have a question. When I reached the conversation between Ajahn and Bhikkhu Bodhi in India, Ajahn said that skinful is the function of the Panya, skinful of Panya. But I have a question about the Panya. It's a, with my understanding, there's two kinds of Panya. Is the Panya about know about the difference between Kusala and Akusala, and the Panya, and the second one is Panya know the true, the characteristics of the Paramattha Dhamma. But In conventional life, we have some guy very skillful in the cooking, in the do business, some, for example, in the law or something like that. And they seem very smart, and they very have a very advanced to the another. And I little bit, if not talking about the Paramattha Dhamma, it's only the skillful on some object, on some story, and some situation in life. It can be the Panya or not, or it's only the, some behavior in some accumulation or vitaka, something from this guy. I don't really don't so much about the how about situation skinful in the daily life. It can be the Panya or not, if not relate to the Akusala and Kusala or the characteristics of the Paramattha Dhamma. It can be not.
Usually when we talk about skillful in daily life, like skillful in designing the microphone or Siri or engineering or cooking or medicine or anything, usually it's lobha that is we're talking about. So actually everyone is already an expert in lobha. Yeah. So it's quite different from the skill of Panya that we're talking about when we discuss about Paramattha Dhammas. It doesn't mean that while cooking or while designing the microphone or Siri that there cannot be moments of Panya if one has heard and has an interest in studying Dhammas. But generally speaking, what is called skillful is just the accumulation of lobha.
And because it appear something I face up in my life, because I think that some skillful is not leading to the truth, but it needs to the life. And also sometimes I have a conflict in myself. And
it's just like the same question and same answer to Mr. Long about Samuti Satcha and Paramatta Satcha. The more understanding of dharmas, the less conflict there is, because then it's understanding what is Samuti Satcha, what is Paramatta Satcha. So one lives life normally as an engineer or cooking or however life goes, but there can be understanding anytime, because there are dharmas at any time. Like some people like swimming or deep sea diving, or we all have different interests, different likes, different ways of earning a living, but they're still just seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching and thinking. There can be understanding any time, but don't confuse the conventional skills with the development of panya.
There's another mental factor, chanda, which is having an interest in the object. And so this obviously plays a role in developing skills, having an interest in the particular skill or field in question. But it doesn't need gusala to be skillful conventionally. It doesn't need gusala of any kind, let alone panya, to be skillful at playing the piano or being skillful intellectually in a particular field.
But the sense of being skillful in the worldly things, it must also come from accumulations, right? Kind of, yeah.
And said different interests, different abilities, like some people are very skillful in arranging flowers or cooking or tapestry or whatever. It depends on interest and aptitude, but may not be any kusala involved at all. But when understanding and awareness develops, those same interests can continue, but with more understanding.
Just wondering about in the section about panya in the Visuddhimagga, they also mentions about these skills in the worldly things. Yeah, so why is that so?
Mangala Sutta about skills, but this is with understanding. So it's like it's a blessing to have particular skills, but with understanding. If it's with akusala cheetahs, it's not a blessing at all.
And just coming back to Mr. Long again, because you again brought up the question of directly experiencing the jitta of another a minute ago. I'm wondering why you are so interested in this particular issue, because now you've brought it up in two or three contexts.
Yeah, I have that question because at the beginning I was concerned that it's not true if I say that here is a living being, because just I experience the rupa from that khanda, that five khanda. So I think if someone say here is a person, he in reality he must be able to experience their chitta. Otherwise he cannot say that is a nama and rupa over there. Do you know what I mean, John?
If someone has never heard, let's say I've never heard anything about the Dharma, I've never heard about namas and rupas.
Yes.
I just lived in my own country, I never came across a Buddha's teachings.
Yes.
Could I still know that here there is living being and here there is not living being?
Yeah, you can know most of the case, but not 100% true.
I think it's just exactly the same. So yes, whether there's understanding or not, just yes, the same. Like yes, sometimes without understanding or with understanding, one might make a mistake. One might see an ant on the path and think it's a stone. So it's just the same whether there's understanding or no understanding.
Yes, yes.
Life carries on exactly the same.
Yes.
Same kind of mistakes and same. One might think this is a plastic rose when actually it's a real orchid. So it's just the same with or without understanding.
Yes.
One might give these two men the wrong names, just the same with or without understanding.
Yes. So Sarah, you know, if let's see in the future, like 50 years, the AI, the artificial intelligence, and the robot, they can make something look really human-like, and have an artificial intelligence inside. And in conventional thinking, the people in next 50 years will really easy to be confused that it's the living or not living being, you know. Now can easily say that it's a table and here yes.
Actually, it's like the Siri question, like someone might think it's a real living person speaking. So it's not actually about dharmas because it's just the same no matter whether there's understanding or not. One may get confused by Siri or take the robot for being real. But even at those moments of being confused and making mistake, there are dharmas that can be understanding at that moment. Even if someone has dementia and forgets everything about what's gone on and very confused about where they're going, there's still dharmas. There can still be awareness. So yeah. It doesn't depend on the conventional knowledge or the conventional skill.
Okay.
Taking one away from this moment.
Yeah. It's similar if one sees an animal on the ground and you can't tell if it's dead or alive.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way of being sure, is there? There's no way of knowing the moment that a person actually, or a being actually dies, even if one is present, because the jitta can't be known.
Yes.
No one can know the exact moment of death.
Yes. Okay.
At moment of touching the hand or some part of the body, is there any idea whether that which it's touched, living or not living?
At the moment of touching,
yes.
Rupa is experienced, mm-hmm. and then through the Maidor process, Sanya will provide information, so we'll have an idea about the living object.
Just at that very moment of touching, what
no.
is touched? No.
Yes.
So we begin to understand the difference between that which touch, which experience hardness, and that which is hardness, to understand the difference between the two, to understand clearly the difference of nama, that which can experience, and rupa, no matter is here or where, it cannot experience anything.
Yeah.
In order to understand that actually,
yes.
that hardness is not me, and the experience not me, only different realities arising.
Yes.
Otherwise, it cannot be experienced.
But it's a really difficult.
But really there difficult. Is thinking about yes. that, whether yes. it's living or not living. But that is not the understanding of the difference between that which experiences and that which cannot experience anything at all.
Yeah. Thank you.
When you say it's difficult, it's more difficult. It's more difficult when there is imagining what it would be like and how would it know whether it's human or not, because it's distracting. It's taking one away from just understanding what appears now. Like if one's thinking about, oh, where does this hardness arise, or is it part of the body, or is it human or not? It's not understanding just that reality of hardness when it appears.
Thank you. Thank
so
you.
We talk a lot about the world of imagination, which is not true, and what is true in the absolute sense, and so very essential to know the difference. So Ajahn helps us all the time to bring us back to this moment, the difference between what experience and what does not experience, because all the time we start to speculate, is it this, is it that, and that brings us further away from the truth. So that doesn't help at all to know the truth. So the only way is really to understand more at this moment.
Thank you.
And sometimes we think that collecting all the details and working out all these points or all these topics of curiosity is somehow related to the Pariyatti understanding. But the Pariyatti understanding isn't about just collecting lots of words and details and labels. It's about the understanding of what appears right now.
Mm.
Otherwise, it can't lead to the direct understanding.
Yes, yes.
So it's very easy to fool ourselves that
yes.
this kind of study is Pariyatti. But if it's not about what appears now,
yes.
actually it's not
yes.
the path.
Thank you. So may I have a question about Rupa? Rupa, you arise, appear now. You mentioned about the heart base. If it, talking about the eye base and map it to seeing, the ear base mapped it to hearing, it would be easy because there is a linking in the meaning. But for the rupa that we call it heart base, why we don't call it mind base or brain base or some other word? What's the meaning of heart in that word?
The citta needs a physical base in this world of the five khandhas. But it doesn't matter really. It's called heart base. There are some theories and some people think it's near the blood of the heart, but it's not important. It's just a physical base of citta because our life is nama and rupa. So it doesn't matter about the word. We should not get lost in words, but just the meaning.
Thank you, Nina. Yes.
Like we said before, it is the base, the vatu, for all the cittas other than the mm-hmm. seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, mm-hmm. and touching. So it is the base. So we can call it, you can call it whatever base you like, mind base or anything. But
should understand what it is.
Yes, it's a very subtle rupa. Yes. It doesn't appear now.
I just have one question. There are planes in which there is no rupa, only mind. So you don't need a base for the mind, right? And I also read one time, I don't remember exactly where, that in the early texts, in the very early texts, it's not mentioned a base for the citta, for the human citta.
So in the Arupa Brahma realm, where there are no rupas, then it's not necessary for Hadayawatu to be the base for the cittas. So that's why it's not like we say eye base is a condition for seeing. There cannot be seeing without eye base. But we don't say that there, in all circumstances, cittas in the mind or cannot arise without a base, because in this realm, no base at all. And in the second point you mentioned, some people, when criticizing the Abhidhamma or talking about Hadayawatu, they mention it's not mentioned by name in some texts, like in some Abhidhamma texts, but they refer to that rupa. So by that rupa, it means the Hadaya rupa, but it doesn't matter what name it's called. You had a question, Roti, on the list as you're mentioning, like Ajahn was talking about how the understanding is deeper and deeper because what is to be understood is more and more subtle. And also about how the development of understanding is harder and harder or more and more difficult. And you were asking about that. So his question, or the point that was being discussed, is while it's apparent that the understanding must be deeper and deeper because more and more subtle dharmas are understood. I think what is meant by saying that it's harder and harder or more and more difficult, does this just mean because what is to be known is more and more subtle?
Just like now, what do you see?
Visible object.
Really? To be truthful.
Well, in reality, there's what it's being seen is visible object, but I still I have no satipatthana, so I cannot see well, right? Or what? Right? See well, right?
The visible object does not appear well.
Does not appear well, correct?
It can appear well only to the highly developed panya. That's why each time there is seeing, when one is so truthful, it's not moment of understanding visible object as just visible object. No one there at all. This is the answer. Deeper and deeper.
But is it also harder or is only deeper? Also harder?
When it's deep, is it hard to get or to understand? When it's so shallow, it's not very hard to understand.
I was so impressed a long time ago when we were talking, and Anne was also participating in this discussion, that the Dhamma becomes more and more difficult when Panya is more developed, and I was so impressed by this.
That is the way to understand the word of the Buddha. Each word, so very deep, like the word Dhamma, see, includes everything. Whatever is real, it has its own characteristic, not self. Each reality does not have the characteristic of self at all. For example, hardness, how can it belong to anyone? It's just hard here and there, the body or the table, exactly the same. But what is not known is that whatever appears has arisen from conditions and falls away instantly, very, very rapidly, uncountable. Like now, before there can be someone or something, how many moments of seeing? And sanya just marks until it becomes a thing. And now there are so many things.
Ajahn, can you elaborate a little bit more about the appear well? It's just, let's say, directly experiencing or understand about the characteristic or directly, what does that mean about the
direct understanding of what appears now? Well, like hardness, like it's not just a little bit of understanding or understanding that now it's hardness touched, but directly understanding, no doubt at all, that what is experienced at this moment is just hardness, just that reality, directly when it appears. Not thinking about it afterwards or imagining it, but directly knowing that characteristic.
And I think, as Sarah explained earlier, when we talk about directly experienced, we mean by panya, by awareness and understanding. And what understanding experiences is to do with the characteristic. Directly experienced by panya means to know something about the characteristic.
And also, how well?
How well?
How much? Deeper and deeper.
Deeper and deeper.
And we now live in the dark world or in the light world?
In the dark world. It's not be in the dark world.
Is that appear well?
Appear well in the dark world.
Not well. When it's in the dark world, it's not well.
Dark world means dark, with ignorance. So when it's dark
in the visible object.
You mean when there's no seeing, it's dark. Yes. Dark
no
world. Yes. Yeah. You're talking about one meaning, and Ajahn's talking about the other meaning. Yeah. Both are correct.
When we talk about it becoming more and more difficult, no problems with that in the conventional sense, but I think it also can imply I have to work harder at it. And that's not the case at all. It's really becomes more and more subtle, deeper and deeper. And being a distance from it, being a long way from it, we think, oh, how difficult. And yet even that thought, oh, how difficult, is very much with self and able to control. So I guess my preference, and it's maybe just me, is to talk about more and more subtle, deeper and deeper, because it doesn't imply effort or can't be misconstrued as effort.
Is there any moment of direct understanding of what appears now? See how difficult or how hard to get or to understand the truth.
I think the point is that it is more and more difficult, but whatever is said, there's going to be misunderstanding if there is an understanding of dharmas, and that is part of the difficulty and subtlety of the path.
Before hearing the truth about reality's hardness, seeing in visible object, there is always this one at a time. For example, of moment of touching, there is no understanding of there is no self, which experience, and that which is experienced, not only that which arises and falls away. See, but after hearing uncountable, we don't have to think about how much. It depends on conditions. There can be moment of beginning to understanding that as what is heard, little by little. Not clear yet. That's why even it's the beginning of patipatti, it's different from just intellectual understanding. And what knows that? Not I, not me, what? Panya, right understanding of what is what as it is. Direct understanding or not direct yet.
I just wanted to mention also, because this is your last session, about internal and external. We also, when we read the text, have to know which aspect and which meaning of internal and external is implied, like when referring to internal and external in Satipatthana Sutta. This is one meaning referring to one's own cittas and other cittas. But when referring, like when talking about the ayatanas, to the internal and external dharmas, which you referred to, like eye senses, internal dharma, visible object is external dharma, ear senses, internal sound is external, citta is internal, chetasika is external. This is a different way of looking at internal and external. So it depends on which aspect it is when we're reading the text. So we can't just assume it's always referring to exactly the same meaning when we read words like internal and external.
Thank you.
Your original question was about the reference in the Satipatthana Sutta, yes, to knowing internally and externally.
I never heard before citta being internal and cetasika being external. That's the first time. If you'd like to elaborate today, it's okay. If not,
maybe
we can do it later.
Maybe tomorrow we can discuss more about what is meant by the ayatanas and talk in more detail, because it brings in all these other topics like Hadiawatu and so on, and what are the internal dharmas and which are the external and how they meet or associate together. We can go into more detail, but for example, at a moment of seeing consciousness, there is the meeting or association of different dharmas. Eye sense is an inner ayatana, internal ayatana. The visible object is external, but also at the moment of experiencing, there has to be citta arising, which is inner ayatana. and there have to be the associated cheta-seekers, which are out-ayatanas. So at that moment of seeing, there have to be the coming together of many different internal and external dharmas. And again, like Mr. Sun said, this is just to show how there are different dharmas coming together by different conditions. No self who can make seeing arise or make anything arise. But we can discuss
it. It was only the thing about chitta and chetasika.
And chitta,
yeah.
Is,
now I kind of understand.
Sometimes we hear or read about chitta as being the most innermost nama.
I would have assumed that chetasika was also internal, but
yeah,
but
this is why
right.
We have a lot of assumptions, and even when we read, we can read with our assumptions, and that's why, as Ajahn says, we have to consider each word carefully. So even a word like internal, external, we have to read very carefully and depending on context and so on.
Because
but it's
chitta
all
and
coming.
Chitta-sika always arise together. That's
yes,
why. Yeah.
Yes. But it all comes back to this moment.
Mr. Long has the question. He's asking if all chetasikas are external.
When we're talking about the ayatanas, so now we're not talking about the reference in the Satipatthana Sutta. We're talking about the ayatanas, the 12 ayatanas. And when talking about the ayatanas, all the chetasikas are external, external ayatanas.
Thank you.
But don't forget that the ayatanas is at this moment. So when you are wandering again, it takes you again away from the present moment.
Just about, for example, the moment of seeing now and the various dharmas that are associated together. And
when we say that I come back to the moment, it's all a mode of time, it's a thinking about something already passed. Just because of moment now is seeing, but not really seeing. When we talk, come back to moment now, all the mode of time is just thinking about something of the past. And
dreaming about, longing for, attached to what's gone, fallen away already.
Yeah.
Wishing for a visible object that's already gone, wishing for a sound that's gone. So, and that's life.
Almost thinking.
This is why there cannot be awareness by focusing on what we take to be the present visible object, because it's gone already. If there are conditions for awareness to arise, then it experiences with panya the actual presently arising reality.
And this is why the Buddha said, don't dream or think so much about the past, and don't dream about the future and what will happen when there's this or this invention in the future. What about now, understanding now? It all comes back to this moment.
But even when you think again that now is past already, we still understand when Ajahn reminds us, it's not seeing now. It's simple, and we make it really more difficult than it is.
This is the nature of papancha, lobha, ditti, mana, to complicate all the time. But even at those moments of thinking about, oh, what will happen when Siri does this or this or this, even the moment of thinking or dreaming about the experience we had yesterday, even then there can be understanding right now, because even that thinking is real, the doubt is real, the regret is real, seeing is real, whatever appears.
So that means to when we talk, when we remind, come back to right now, that means the know, the thinking, the approaching about the characteristic of the moment, right? Thinking is that appear like the thinking.
If there is the, I'm not saying this is what you're suggesting, but if there is an idea that there should be thinking about the characteristic of reality now, this is the wrong way, because this is the idea of I should do, I should think. It's not understanding of whatever appears very naturally. It's trying to get rid of something we don't like and trying to force understanding now by thinking in a special way. So understanding now doesn't mean trying to focus on what is present now. This is the subtlety of the path.
So to come back to the moment, come back to the moment now is a, it's a condition for the some, because we already the listen to Dhamma and the reminder come back to the right to the moment to the.
It's not a matter of coming back to, whether or not we've ever heard about the Dhamma or not. There only ever is the present moment. So if seeing is conditioned now, that's the present moment. It's not a matter of coming back to it. If thinking now is conditioned, or wrong view is conditioned now, that's life at this moment. So nothing to do. If there's an idea of, I should come back to wrong view now, or understanding now, then it's the idea of, I can focus or be aware. So life is just at this moment, regardless of whether it's known or not.
Because so something impossible to come back to the moment right now, because it's, I feel, I know everything parts.
Forget about trying to come back to anything. Just let understanding develop very naturally of whatever appears.